This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
There is an ambassador in the Ukraine in the capital city of Kyiv. In the meantime, the Russians will suffer more sanctions at the hands of the United States. That's what our president is saying. And a federal judge will temporarily block Biden from ending Title 42. Do you even know what it is? We're going to talk about that and more, including Elon Musk now being accepted for his money as the private owner eventually of Twitter. Taking ownership of Twitter, the company would be controlled by the world's richest person and someone who's been a heavy critic of that platform while using it legally in pretty contentious ways. So it is interesting to see how things turn. He offered a boatload of money, and they were trying to fend off a hostile takeover. In the end, they agreed to swallow a poison pill, or what they call a shareholder's rights agreement, that would allow other shareholders to buy the stock at a discount should Musk or any other person or group acquire more than 15% of outstanding common stock. Wow, what a rock when you think of Twitter and how open now those borders will become with Musk owning it, although already the former president has said he will not go back on the Twitter platform. My name is Kate Delaney. Thanks so much for joining us here on this show. Let's just dive right into it. I think besides the Musk deal, which is crazy, $44 billion. And even if you despise social media, you could care less. It is where the world turns because it's the court of public opinion. And everybody uses it to pump their message out, meaning the people in power do, whether it's politicians, whether it's billionaires, whether it's companies, whether it's the everyday Joe that suddenly becomes the voice of something because they get well known. Elon Musk already was popular, 83 million followers for Musk. So in a way, it's no surprise. And his company just had incredible first quarter earnings, Tesla, for 2022 to kick things off. He certainly has the money. I heard the rumors, as many of you probably did too, but I wasn't sure that it was really going to happen. But it did happen. So how about that? That is a huge story. Look, 3.7 billion people are on some sort of a platform when it comes to social media. We could argue the merits of not being on them and then also being on them, but this is the way the world turns. And like it or not, it is a place of public opinion, a very, very, very popular one. So this changes the game considerably when you think of politics, which Musk definitely wades right into that pool because you have midterm elections coming up. You have a 2024 presidential election coming up. Very, very big, my friends. Very, very big. Also, it is a huge story when you talk about an ambassador in the Ukraine. And the fact is that there hasn't been one. So Biden nominated Bridget Brink as the ambassador to fill that void and to build up that relationship. That news was relayed to the Ukrainian government on Sunday because Sunday was the meeting that nobody really knew about. The Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, and Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin met with President Zelensky in the Ukraine. So the delegation said the United States would move to reopen its embassy in Kyiv. So if you reopen the embassy, you got to have an ambassador. So this is the woman that has been nominated to step into that position. There hasn't been anyone there, like I said, not a full-time ambassador since 2019 when President Trump removed the ambassador. So this is a very big step for the U.S. And when you look at what's been happening with Russia, when you look what's gone on in that war there since, what, 2.5 months ago, this is more of paying attention to how can we help but not have boots on the ground, this is what I think, but have diplomats there. So the return of diplomats, first of all, the return of diplomats in secret to Kyiv was a big deal. Promising more aid is a big deal. And then talking about squeezing Russia again and adding more sanctions is a big deal because the sanctions seem to be working. And when I say seems to be, it's because what's happening is you have a lot of oligarchs who are frustrated. You have a lot of Russian people who don't, when they can find out what's happening, they don't like what's happening. So more sanctions mean taking away more money. The U.S.-Russia relations, of course, have tanked. And what the U.S. pretty much is saying and what the White House press secretary Jen Psaki said is no one is safe from our sanctions. There is no specifics on it, but just saying that nobody is safe and they're not ruling it out and they're obviously talking about it. And that had to be, I believe, at least some part of what was said in that meeting with the president of the Ukraine. I'm just thinking here out loud. All right, 42, what does that mean? Nebraska Governor Ricketts says the lack of Title 42 creates a huge security issue, saying if it's not implemented, this is a disaster, saying that when you look at Title 42, he says it gives us some help in stemming the tide of illegal immigration, because that's what Title 42 is about, that is coming across the southern border. The governor implied that not having Title 42 creates big problems for us, whether it's human trafficking or the drugs that are coming across, or even the people on the terrorist with a watch list. So now, according to a judge in Louisiana, Robert Summerhays, mentioned in a filing on Monday that the Biden administration's move to end Title 42 by May 23rd, so that would be less than a month from now, would be temporarily blocked. There's going to be a very, very big war over Title 42. And this is tug of war has been going on behind the scenes for quite some time. The Biden administration says that they're going to continue to go after this, but can they continue to disregard what the law is, and then what are the administrative procedures, which is what the fight on the other side is saying. So look for this to see what is being said here, because I think it's very, very big. Joe Manchin, once again, when we talk about politics, is mouthing off. He met Monday with a bipartisan group of colleagues. What are they discussing? A climate bill he hopes will pass, like the $1.2 trillion infrastructure law enacted earlier this year. So he invited so many to the party. He organized a climate-focused meeting in the Capitol with progressives and moderates. He wants a bipartisan climate and energy security package. We'll see if that flies when it goes up the flagpole or not. Stay tuned, and I'll meet you on the flip side.
You trust your mother, right? She's always taken care of you and always tried to give you good advice when you ask for it. And sometimes even when you don't. Well, even though she might not mention it, Mom very likely has neck, back, and shoulder pains. And she needs relief. So trust this good advice. Give back to Mom this Mother's Day with quality products from Sunny Bay. Like our disposable heat patches. They're back in stock now and target neck and shoulder pain in adults of all ages. Or our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. Mom can heat them in her microwave, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews on Amazon when you search Sunny Bay Heating Wraps. And shop now in time for Mother's Day. There's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find us on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You, too, can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.
Welcome to the show, Terry Nardone. He's written a book called Tin Can Treason, and boy, he takes you on quite an adventure. There's no doubt about it. It is a recollection, as the description is, and as he told me in our off-air conversation, of his combat tour aboard a destroyer. Thank you so much for coming on, Terry.
It is my pleasure. I enjoy meeting everybody.
So tell me about the book. Why did you write this book?
I wrote the book as a catharsis, so to speak, and a healing mechanism. And it's based on a diary that I kept while I was in the military. And it was recommended by a couple people to keep a diary. So it took quite a while, about 40 years, to sit down at the table because of difficulties. But eventually I wrote the book, and it's been quite a rewarding experience.
Let's talk about the book. What was it like, first of all, when you decided to serve, and what didn't you expect when you were aboard a destroyer that made an incredible trip from Charleston, South Carolina to the Vietnam coast and back?
Well, enlisting was a matter, back then they had something called the Selective Service, and somebody told me a horror story about how if your Selective Service number came up, they put you in a room and you did a few things, and they put you on the shoulder and said, "You look like you'd make a good Marine. Maybe we'll send you to the Army over here." So you didn't even have a choice if you did that. So I enlisted in the Navy, and went through boot camp and training, quite a few things, and became a hull technician, which I found was one of the most important rates in the entire Navy. It's actually the combat engineers. And I didn't know what to expect at all, and I volunteered for a destroyer. I might have been a crazy man when I did. Somebody told me that if you like to travel, tell him you want to be on a tin can. So I did. I think I was insane.
So you're doing this journaling, which is so important because you have all these vivid stories. Tell us some of the stories from the book.
A couple of stories, I think that, I don't know, and it's difficult to tell the different stories. One of the stories I tell people was I had the Hispanic crew members on board the ship. They found out I could speak a little Spanish, and they would tell me, you sit down with us and you don't speak English or we kill you.
Wow.
And they were making a joke, okay, but it was a true story. So I learned how to speak Spanish while I was in the Navy going to Vietnam and back again. And I've had a rough time getting a quote from people about how far it is, and it's a long, long way from Charleston, South Carolina, through the Panama Canal, going to Guam, Midway. One of the overwhelming experiences of the whole trip was meeting some people who had been at the battles in World War II on Midway. And they liked it there because it's a nice little place, and they went to resettle there. That was another quite unusual experience, was listening to people who had served in World War II against the Japanese telling us different things like what the sound will be like when the bombs explode. It's a lot different than what you're going to be imagining and things of that nature. That was quite unusual to deal with. And also the Philippines was an experience that's quite unbelievable. And when they told us we were going to go on leave in the Philippines and leave the ship, and they said, please be careful. We have an average of 2 sailors a day that don't return, and we don't know where they went. About all I can think of right this minute is 3 stories.
So, Terry, one of the things you said is so interesting is about what you heard from the World War II stories about what you wouldn't expect what the bombs would sound like. So for you, once you got to Vietnam, what was that like?
It was quite scary. There's a section in the book where I speak to the issue of everybody being afraid like crazy on the ship and telling jokes with each other. It was quite a tortuous experience. The one thing that sticks with me quite intensely is sitting in the gear locker under heavy fire. The ship took 26 direct hits in Vietnam altogether. And being under heavy fire in North Vietnam in the gear locker, and unexplainably, all of us started to hold hands together and sing hymns.
Wow.
Quite overwhelming, to say the least. I still get a little bit crazy when I hear Onward Christian Soldiers.
Wow. So we're not going to spoil everything because it is really amazing, these recollections that you can read and go through in Terry's book, Tin Can Treason, and you can get that on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. What do you hope people take away from reading this book that are listening to this and people that buy your book? What do you hope they take away?
Perseverance, faith. Be less concerned with where you want to place your faith than something that we would speak about often is on a 360-sailor ship. We spoke about the fact that you don't need a church and you don't need a steeple. All you need is a couple of people, and faith is a frame of mind. We spoke often of faith and hopefully that we would all return home together.
Yeah. And I think you said this in the beginning, but it sounds like it was such a rewarding experience, though, for you to go through and put this together. Has in the end it been worth it to put all this together? It's great that you kept all those journals.
It's been a very, very rewarding experience, Kate, to say the least. I've met quite a few interesting people along the way, including being interviewed on the radio by yourself. I've spoken to many people about it. There's quite a few people that have indicated that they found reading the book quite unbelievably overwhelming. A book club that I spoke with at a Barnes & Noble signing, a woman that was in the group looked at me and said, you need to realize something. When I got to the part where all of you were returning home and pulling into port, I actually cried and had to put the book down for a few minutes. And I'm not telling you that because I'm telling you that because it's true. You need to realize that. And another member in the group indicated, I read your book twice. You need to realize what you have here that you've written. So I've been told, Kate, to the book speak for itself. It's been out for quite some time, but our speaking with each other is an indication of something that I learned in the military is patience is a virtue.
There you go. That is the perfect place to wrap this up. And thank you for your service, and thank you for this book, Tin Can Treason, Terry Nardone. Again, get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Terry, thank you.
Certainly. I appreciate your time and efforts, okay? Take care.
Thanks. Can you imagine being on that ship and listening to his stories about, you know, the different places, Vietnam Coast, and what that was like, the fact that he kept that journal? I think there is really a lot of value in journaling. You've heard me talk about my journals, and I've journaled my whole life, and packing up things recently here for me, I've seen all these journals, and you go back and you remember things in some ways worse than they were and better than they were, and then you just laugh out loud about some of the things that you remember. And his book, he has some really, really funny moments, laugh out loud moments, and then some really, really serious moments where you think, wow, the war zone in Vietnam and leaving the war zone and what was that like? And just life on a ship. What was life like on a ship where, you know, you go from the coast of Charleston to all these other ports and what happens when you arrive at those ports? It's always fascinating to me, and we thank him for his service. And any of you listening, by the way, that have done that, whether it's in the air, on the ground, or by the sea. Just talking about a couple of the big headlines on the day, I think one of the biggest is the bombshell story about Elon Musk. What a game changer that he's offering up that $44 billion. Wow, $44 billion. So now it will become a private company once the deal is complete. Of course, that requires regulatory approval and a few other hoops that you have to jump through, but it doesn't seem as though that would be a problem. The people, by the way, who work for Twitter are told, oh, well, you're going to be okay for at least 6 months. Have you ever heard that when somebody new comes in? You're going to be okay for 6 months, because I think things will, it's a takeover, right? You got the world's richest man who's buying Twitter, and it's a very, very big, big deal. He says it's not living up to its potential as a platform for free speech, and he's going to change all of that.
And now the purple dusk of twilight time steals across the meadows of my heart. High up in the sky, the little...
Hi, I'm your host, Smokey Colbert, filling in for Smokey, because after 75 years of...
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Turns out there's much more to say. Nearly 90% of wildfires are caused by us humans being careless, dumping our used barbecue coals willy-nilly. Guess the song was wrong. We did start the fire. That's why I respect Mother Nature and her trees, whether coniferous or new car scented. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
We have not had an ambassador to Ukraine since 2019, when then-President Trump removed Marie Yovanovitch from the job. Now that the U.S. said it would reestablish its presence in Ukraine, President Biden has made his pick to fill the role.
Biden nominated Bridget Brink as the U.S. ambassador to Ukraine. From Michigan, Ms. Brink speaks many languages from the region and was a part of the U.S. Embassy in Slovakia. From the West Coast USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
Meanwhile, the Kremlin unleashed a string of attacks against rail and fuel stations far from the front lines of Russia's eastern offensive. The move is seen as an attempt to interrupt Ukrainian efforts to get supplies for the fight, Washington approving a $165 million ammunition sale to Ukraine, while also providing $300 million in financing to buy more supplies. Wall Street ended Monday on a positive note thanks to tech stocks. This is USA Radio News. Elon Musk is purchasing Twitter for $44 billion. The deal comes 2 weeks after the Tesla and SpaceX CEO first offered to buy the social media company. Musk has vowed to, quote, unlock the platform's potential by loosening what he says are unfair restrictions on free speech. The Texas Court of Criminal Appeals stayed the execution of Melissa Lucio, who was convicted of the 2007 death of her daughter, Mariah. The stay was granted so a lower court can review evidence she claims would exonerate her. It comes as doubts about her guilt has been raised. The case has attracted the attention of lawmakers, celebrities, and even some of the jurors who sentenced her to death. Two parents sentenced to prison in the Varsity Blues college admissions bribery scandal are appealing their convictions. Former Staples executive John Wilson and former casino executive Gamal Abdelaziz say they believe they were making legit donations to get their kids into elite universities. They have been the only parents so far who have gone to trial in the case. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Americans have the most colorful language in the world, and that vibrant language is our basis for thinking in big ways, new ways, efficient ways, and better ways. Americans have freedom of speech. The pairing of our colorful language and freedom of speech has made us the people and the nation that we are today. Imagine what it would be like not having the freedom to speak our minds, communicate our thoughts and ideas, and hear those from others. Americans have a passion for and yearn for the truth. There are those who want to destroy our freedom and right to hear the truth. The truth is under attack. GCN is under attack. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to free speech. Would you like to join us? Please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. Please help us bring you the truth 24 hours per day. I'm Vincent Finelli.
Thrilled to take you to the Ukraine, where my friend is making a difference. He's an American veteran in Poland and the Ukraine. Ukraine right now establishing the supply lines and taking it to Putin, so to speak, and helping the people every way that he can. He, by the way, is also a motivational speaker and entertainer, and I'll tell you, he is so focused on this mission, and I'm so proud of the things that he is doing. You think about what I've been talking about and the people I've been talking about in the Ukraine and what's happening in the East. Imagine trying to deliver the supplies they need there, and he's part of that. Mark, thanks so much for coming on.
Hey, Delaney, thanks so much for having me.
So set it up for us. Tell us where you are and what's happening.
I'm here in Lviv, Ukraine, and we got boots on the ground here inside Ukraine 10 days ago, I think. The days are a blur, so I think that's it. And so what we've been doing here is a logistical mission. You know, I got my eyes on the problem in Warsaw at the border and now in Lviv, and now I'm hearing from people that have been out east. And it's a logistical nightmare over here on the humanitarian side. And really what we have determined is most needed is a self-appointed logistical commander, and that's my role out here, trying to get the right things to the right people at the right time, because that is not happening to the degree that it needs to happen out here in this crisis.
Yeah, I know one of the things that you talked about is what's been so wonderful is that there's a lot of different people helping, like Americans, Danish, Canadians.
Yeah.
And what was that like as you are the commander, so to speak, pulling all those people together? How are you finding them? What's happening?
Well, it's inspiring to hear hear from people from all over the world, Kate, who have heard interviews like this, who have said, you know what, I've been wanting to help. I've had a heart for the people of Ukraine. It tears me apart to see these news stories, and they feel like they want to do more. But I think kind of universally, the world doesn't necessarily know how to help. You know, we're afraid to make donations because we don't want the money to go to a Russian oligarch. You know, we don't know if the things that we donate are going to get to the hands of the people. So I've set up many supply lines in partnership with a veteran of the 82nd Airborne. And we've got guys that have run convoys through Afghanistan. And if they could do that, they certainly have the skill set to run things from A to B here in Ukraine. So we've created partnerships over here with various groups of individuals just over here on their own volition to volunteer. And I'm up to about 20 people from around the country and world who've contacted me and said, I have bought a plane ticket on your lead. I'm coming over to Warsaw. I'll direct them over the border to either the Polish border or Lviv. And we just need all hands on deck. And so it's inspiring to see people respond to this call.
So, Lviv, tell us what Lviv's been like for you. And, of course, you're running around and getting all the supplies that you can. And what are those supplies that people need?
So, Lviv has been sad the last few days. Of course, we all heard the news of the missile strikes here, over here. And we hear the tale of a young boy who escaped from the east and finally made it to relative safety. And this is where he was injured. It's horrifying. And so the mood here in Lviv has been a little bit sad these last few days. And people are worried. There's lines at the ATMs. They're sending cash out east where they can't get money out of the ATMs. The necessary supplies here, we need every tourniquet on planet Earth sent here right now. I can't believe that I can go on Amazon and still buy tourniquets. They are in short supply, yes, but the West has so many resources. We need quick clot. We need litters to carry injured people off of the front line. We need calorie-packed food, MRE-type things that we can get in our vans and send out as far east as we possibly can. And I 3 weeks into this mission, I finally got the transport lines, the people that have the bravery and the skills to get out there safely. And all I need is the Western world to not forget about this and continue to focus on the victory for these people, the people of Ukraine. We just need to send resources and our money over here because they are ill-equipped, they are ill-prepared, they are outnumbered, they are outgunned, but we can help.
What was it, Mark, and I mean, you're a giving person. I've seen you help lots of different people. What was it that really sent you scrambling to get over there and organize all this?
I'm kind of a history nerd, we've talked about this before, that all I could think of was Marquis de Lafayette. And, 240-some years ago, he was a French aristocrat. He was a major general. He didn't have to come over across the ocean to fight for our Revolutionary War, but he did. And the French supported us. And that's kind of the role that we're in now. Like, we have the ability. We are a strong nation. The dollar is strong. The resources are available. And so now we need to follow that example. And I guess that's what I've done. And I guess something like that, when it happens, when you're able-bodied, never married, no kids, 40 years old, have the resources and the ability to do it, I guess I kind of feel like the Marquis de Lafayette example is what I'm following. And I just couldn't, once I had that thought, I couldn't stand by and watch the people of Ukraine suffer. I couldn't live in a world where nobody came to their aid. So I got on a plane. I did it on my own, and others are doing the same, and you can too. And if people are hearing this and encouraged to help in that manner, get a hold of me. You can Google me, Mark J. Lindquist, and get a hold of me, and I'll tell you exactly how to help over here and help best.
And right now, all the people that are listening to us can go to your GoFundMe page to certainly donate, and that helps because, like you said, all those resources go to this effort. How do they find that?
If you just go to GoFundMe and search my last name, Lindquist, L-I-N-D-Q-U-I-S-T, you'll easily find that. And the great thing about our operation over here is we're small, we're nimble, we're just a bunch of volunteers doing this. We're covering our own costs with our money out of our own pocket. And so if you donate $29, I can get a roving suitcase for a mother whose belongings and entire possessions were in plastic bags. Think about it. The average income over here is about $250 to $300 USD a month. We expect that in our lives we would have two and three and four suitcases and pieces of luggage. Some of these people don't travel. They don't make enough money. And so, I mean, if you fled a war zone and you had a suitcase, of course you would take it when you fled. Some of these people are carrying all of their life's belongings in plastic bags. And so a very simple way that we can help mothers and children that are fleeing and trying to get to safety is just to buy a $29 rolling suitcase from a local store here in Lviv. And I know it's a little thing, but to them it's a big thing. I spent $16 on medication for a baby that had a heart surgery out in Kharkiv, and we got it to her. And we were the only ones in the country who fulfilled that request. And you can do good over here. We just need people to keep focusing on this conflict and these people.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank God for you and what you're doing. And we're going to pump up the volume as much as we can, my friend over here. And we'll talk to you again. Thanks for making a difference.
I appreciate you, Kate. Love you.
Love you, too. All right. Wow. Mark Lindquist, you know, he is amazing. He is somebody who, as he said there, and I asked him, what was it? He went and took action because he saw what was happening. I mean, here he is, an American veteran, and first he hits Poland, Ukraine, gets in there and starts to make things happen. And he really is making a big difference. So go to his page, GoFundMe.com. Look up, as he said, his last name, Lindquist. Wow. Thanks to Mark for that, for sure. And speaking of the Ukraine, a little bit of an update on what is happening and what's going on as far as arms and other things. For example, you have Putin, who is test firing. He is test firing what they call the Satan missile, firing up to 12 nuclear warheads at once. At least that's what he's claiming. So the launch of this intercontinental ballistic missile will certainly, he thinks, I'm sure, give pause to those who are trying to threaten Russia. And in fact, he's saying that because this Satan II missile is believed to have a range of 6,000 miles. So if that is true, and he launched it, it would be the world's most powerful nuclear warhead, according to people that I've talked to that have the information of looking at nukes across the board. Well, that's it, right? So to have that kind, to have test fired that, and to have that kind of reach is obviously incredibly, incredibly deadly. To give you an example, this Satan II can fly 11,000 miles with the 15 warheads, and it would have the potential to destroy an area the size of France, right? So it traveled, there was a video, and it's enormous, of course, and it traveled almost the entire length of Russia, almost 3,600 miles in about 15 minutes. Now, this obviously was strategic from Putin's point of view because they're trying, knowing that more and more people are doing everything they can to help the Ukrainians, and he's trying to issue this warning. And in fact, he's certainly not hiding it. He's saying what's happening. He's watching, releasing photos of him by himself at a giant, enormous desk, watching the test of this missile. And if the video and if the photographs are very accurate, what I said is accurate because it's believed to have that long range, 6,000 miles. Think about that. Multiple warheads, which would mean it could streak towards different targets. Wow. All right. Stay with us, my friends.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
I'm very excited to take you to the UK for a conversation with Rita Wright. She's written a powerful book called Under the Fig Tree, Time to Go, One Last Coffee. And it's about Anna. It's about her daughter, Anna, and what an incredible impact I think she had in a young life that ended too soon. And there are definite plans for what Rita would like to see happen with this message and with this book. So, Rita, thanks so much for joining us from the UK.
You're welcome, Kate. Nice to speak to you.
Tell me about writing this book. How hard was it for you to write the book?
In a sense, it wasn't hard for me to write the book. It would have been harder not to, because Anna and I have such a strong connection. So I just couldn't come to terms with her not physically being around me, or laughing, or crying, or us holding hands and or doing something. And so me sitting down and writing her book was me literally kind of almost vomiting it out of me onto the pages. And I had to start with the darkest part of the story, which does begin really on the front cover, where her design shows three young women who are blindfolded and gagged and with anxious hands. So this is on the front page. And also on the front page is the wall in Montmartre where the fig tree is, where I have buried a little tin of her ashes so that she can always hear the sound of St. John Church, because she loved the church. She loved Montmartre Cemetery, which sounds really weird, but when Anna moved to Paris, she was reeling from the death of my father, her granddad, and she'd often sit in the cemetery in Montmartre and draw, paint, write, or just sit with a coffee. So that's the under the fig tree where I dug away the soil with my bare hands and made sure she'd always hear those bells.
Wow, what a lovely story, and what a lovely way to remember Anna. Let's talk about her. What was she like? And you talk about it in the book, and you actually were given more time with Anna. So tell us more about her and what we can expect when we read the book.
Okay. Anna was born, I'll say quickly that I am actually a psychotherapist. I worked as a counselor quite a lot during the 90s and the 90s. Anna was born, I believe, quite melancholy. She was out of my three children. She was the only one that she just wanted my skin all the time. And she was only happy when she was at home with her family. And right from tiny, before she went to school, she, instead of writing normally, learning to write normally, everything was backwards. To see what she'd drawn or she'd written, you had to look in the mirror.
Wow.
She was so happy at home with all her little, anything that was delicate, anything that was intricate. She drew a picture of a lady holding a handbag, and she was preschool, and the social worker said, "I've never seen a child draw like this with this detail." And you'll see in the book later on when, you know, you look in the gallery, you'll see how detailed her work was as an adult. But she was very socially anxious, couldn't bear noise. And I believe there's something in her DNA that made that happen. I don't think it was environmental. She had a happy childhood. She had a miserable time in her early teens because her dad and I divorced. And that was that happy little family broken. And so she became broken. And she stopped eating, which was her way of not having to go to school to see the bullies. So her teen began very, very difficult. We were scared we were going to lose her when she was about 15 or 16. And she ran it round. She wanted desperately to go to art college, and that will that she could have to stop herself eating, she used that will to start eating to get well so she could go to uni.
Wow. Well, so, you know, she goes to the university, and fast forward, she really is talented, and she gets that degree, and then she embarks on the world.
Yes, she did. She did. She had her work was shown at London Student Fashion Week. She was headhunted to do illustrations for the BBC World Service. She was sent to. She had 3 months. She was sent to Delhi, and she was going to produce 3 different designs for Topshop and I think Miss Selfridge, but I know Topshop definitely. And when she saw the children in the sweatshops, she couldn't bear it. She used to stand on a balcony outside the office, which was beautiful, that she was working in, and she saw all the children rubbing their eyes, and they were having to sew sequins on for hours and hours, and most of these children have been shipped in from poor villages, just child slave labour. And she stopped eating, and she actually drank the minibar dry every night and keep going. But eventually her weight became too low and she had to come home and go into the priory and repeat all that refeeding that she really thought she'd left behind at 17. But at 27... she came alive again. All the colour in her life came on again. And she decided she wanted to live in Paris. She'd been there with the university, and she decided Paris was the place for her. And so we visited, and then she went into the estate agents, and she said, how much does it cost to rent in Montmartre? And she was shown this tiny garden flat behind her favourite church, which was St. John in Montmartre. And she used to ring me up, and she used to say, Mum, I found somewhere where I feel alive. Mum, all these artists that are around me, they speak my language, and they don't keep saying things like, oh, you should get a proper job because you're not earning any money. She earned enough money to give herself that nice little lifestyle for a while in Montmartre. She met Manu and fell madly in love for the first time in her life. She was so happy, and of course I missed her because she was abroad, but the fact that she was happy and living her life was just wonderful.
Mm.
And then a terror attack happened. And the Charlie Hebdo terrorist attack, which was, I think it was February, March 2015, Manu worked in the offices next door because he was an illustrator. And she was terrified he was going to be killed. And then she got back on track, and then the other terrorist attacks happened, and Manu had friends in the Bataclan that were killed when ISIS took their Kalashnikovs and made a bloodbath of Paris.
Yeah.
And so she didn't completely go back to where she was with darkness, but she, after the terrorist attacks, she didn't seem to be able to settle. And in the end, I think that was, thinking about, and this is the first time I've really thought about this, that the thing that got to her most, I think, when she took her life, bless her, she didn't know where she was, she didn't know where she belonged.
Yeah.
She couldn't settle. She tried to settle with me in Wimbledon. She tried to settle with her dad on the South Coast. She tried to settle in a fishing village with Manu. And then we had a few deaths in the family, including a suicide. And there was just too much darkness around her.
Right.
She said to me one day, Mum, the world's going to end soon, you know. Look at the news. It's just dreadful.
Yeah.
And 3 months later, her world was over.
Yeah. And we started talking about, you know, how you started the book, and there's no question this book is empowering. You can get this book on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. And again, the book is called Under the Fig Tree, Time to Go Over One Last Coffee, Time to Go One Last Coffee. And, wow, what a story. Rita Wright, she would be proud of you, Anna, for telling her story and helping others. Thank you for coming on.
You're more than welcome.
You can go to the Anna M. Wright Foundation. What a wonderful thing's been set up here to help families left behind after suicide. Rita says the money would be used to help them get free counseling. Thanks to all of you for listening to this interview and this show. Make it count, everybody. Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. Drinksupertea.com.